say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Proverbs chapter 6. Grab your Bible. Proverbs 6. Why would we even care what the Bible has to say? Because it's God's Word. All right? And it is God's Word. All right? But now listen. When God says something, He's right about everything. If you just are observant in life. Listen, there's blessings and cursings. God lines them out in the scriptures. If you live this life, you're going to have the blessed life. If you make these choices, you're going to have the blessed life. If you make these choices and you live this way, you're going to have a cursed life. And not only if you live in that particular way, you're going to have a cursed life, you're going to have a cursed eternity. Cursed eternity. And that's a long time. That is a long time. Do you ever sit and think about how long eternity is? That's a long time to be in the fire, baby. A long, long, long time. 60 years is a long time. But 60 trillion years, and it's just beginning, is a long time. Some of you guys need to consider your spiritual state, where you're at. You need to choose Christ as Savior. Because 60 trillion years and you just began is a long, long, long time to be suffering because you were selfish for 70 or 80 years. Just need to think about that. Behold, I set before you this morning blessings and cursings. You choose. All right? That's the great thing about being a human being. We got all kinds of choices. It is also the downfall of many human beings. We got all kinds of choices. You choose right, you get blessed. You choose wrong, you brought the curse upon yourself. So we'll look at the scripture, chapter 6, verse number 16. What does the Lord love? What does the Lord hate? What sets him off? What's abomination to him? Abomination means extreme hatred. What does God really, really, really hate? There's more abominations in the Bible than just what's in the book of Proverbs. It talks about a lot underneath the law back in the Old Testament, back toward the beginning of your Bible. There's a lot of things that are abominations, but there are several that are listed here. One thing we learn from Proverbs chapter number 6 is that there are a lot of things that aren't looked down upon in our culture today that God really, really, extremely hates. Things that are accepted, even in our culture here in America, that's just a way we do business, that God goes, I hate that. Things that we ran before our Supreme Court, and our Supreme Court said, that's okay. God says, I hate that. Now, we need to stop for just a minute. We better think about this. Listen, it will cost. And it's costly. It's going to be costly to our country. And it'll be costly to me, and it'll be costly to you. Anytime we think we're smarter than God, anytime we think we're more right about something than God, it's always going to cost you. So let's just see what God says he hates. Here they are, chapter 6, verse number 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. Proud look. Listen, God cannot stand that. It's so common in our culture. It's so accepted in our culture. In fact, we really like it that way. We like it that way in our musicians. We like it that way in our politicians. We like it that way in our sports figures. We like it that way everywhere in life. We like the proud people. We call the proud happy. That's what the scripture says. They did it 2,000 years ago. We do it today. We call the proud happy. Look at that guy, man. He's happy. He's happy. No, he's not. He's cocky. He's arrogant. He's proud. And while we may soak it up and we love it, when a guy flaunts himself on the ball court or on the athletic field or on a football field, we may love that pride, but I'm just telling you, God hates Not just pride. He hates even a proud look. He hates pride so much, he can't even stand a proud look. He doesn't like that smug, lifted nose. I got more money than you. I dress better than you. I'm from a better family than you. He can't stand it. He cannot stand even a proud look. Cannot stand it. But it's so accepted in our culture, and we're so used to operating by those principles that we think it's acceptable. And the truth is that God hates it extremely. That's what an abomination is. It's something that God hates extremely. And the only way to prevent having a proud look is to be humble in our heart. We can hang a buckhead on the wall, and that's all right. But when that thing becomes a source of our pride, because we killed a bigger buck than everybody else, then it becomes an issue. I love to see those big bucks hanging on the wall. I love to hear stories about big bucks. I love to see those big fish that we pull in. But you know, there's just something about pride on a man that just don't look right to God at all. I know that hits where we all live, because the truth is every one of us, probably at some point or in one way or another, we were proud people. Sometimes people can be proud about the way they raise their kids, that they think they're superior to other people in their skill in raising children. Now, it does matter how you raise your kids, and it does matter that we do our best to raise them right. But my kids grew up to serve the Lord because of the grace of God. It wasn't because I was the most skilled parent in the world. We thrashed and fumbled through, and we were trying our guts out to get it right. And it is the grace of God that our kids grew up to serve Jesus Christ. And so, God hates a proud look. And that's only one of the seven, and we're just in one verse that God hates, right? Verse number 17. He hates, extremely hates, a lying tongue. We need to get past all this white lie, little white lie. It wasn't a big lie. I did it to protect them. We need to get past all that nonsense, and we need to get right down to God hates lying. He hates lying. Period. The devil is a liar. He's the father of it. He was a murderer from the beginning. And God hates murder. He hates lying. He cannot stand it. And it's no better when we do it than when somebody else does it. We hate getting lied to, and part of love thy neighbor as thyself is if you hate being lied to, you better quit lying to people, because God hates it. You might say, well, I love people lying to me. Okay. Can I have your account number for your checking account? I promise I'll keep that account number safe. Can I have your wallet? Can I have your credit cards? I promise you, I'll take good care of them. Now, you want me to be honest about that, or you want me to lie about that? What if I promised you a job making $100,000 a year, and you showed up on a Monday morning for that brand new job I just promised you, but I changed my mind about 30 minutes ago? Would you like me? What if I was your bank, and I had the deed for your home? And you worked 20 years making monthly payments to pay for that house, and I promised you at the end of that 20 years, I'd give you your deed for your land. But at the end of 20 years, when you came to the bank, to me, to get your deed for your land, I decided, you know what, I think you owe me another $100,000. And I got your deed, and possessions is 9/10 of the law, baby. What if there was a dishonest judge down there that said, you know what, I think the bank's right. You owe them another $100,000. You need to work another 20 years to pay off that home. You're like, I worked 20 years already for it. Too bad for you. Is honesty important? And when honesty breaks down in a culture, the whole culture breaks down when you can't trust people. You can't trust anybody in business. You can't trust anybody in relationships. Everybody will utterly supplant. And that was the days of Jeremiah, and we're quickly approaching it here in America because we don't value honesty anymore. We're a country chock full of liars. One of the most frustrating things is to try to figure out what the truth is when you watch the news anymore, and it really makes me mad because I wish we would just get the facts of what really happened and then let me make a decision for myself. But everybody wants to give their spin on it. It's pitiful. In fact, it's quite refreshing when you actually run across somebody in life who'll just be honest, even though it might cost them something. Even though it might end up meaning that they are end up in the short end of the stick, even though sometimes they hurt our feelings a little bit, it is refreshing to have someone that will just be honest with you. And God hates lying. Well, we just got two of them. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. I don't care what court, I don't care what federal judge, I don't give a rip what Supreme Court in the world says it's okay to kill an innocent unborn baby. They are wrong. Right is right. God is the one who sets the rules. You might say, I don't like God's rules. That's the problem. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. The only time that it's legal in God's law and under God's commands to be able to take somebody's life is if they've done, if there's only a few crimes that are worthy of taking someone's life for. Other than that, when we kill someone that's innocent, that hasn't done anything worthy of death, we're going to stand in account to God for that. That's the problem with abortion. That baby didn't choose to be in that womb. That baby, once it began, it deserves a chance at life. And until that baby does something to deserve to be killed, it has a right in God's economy to live. And God hates. He doesn't just hate abortion. He hates the hands of those doctors that killed. Hates it. There's lots of ways you can kill innocent people that don't deserve to die. It's more than just an abortion issue. It's a euthanasia issue. It's a what's right issue. It's a what's right issue. Aren't you glad somebody didn't abort you? Well, it's just a few thoughts that we need to ponder. It's good for us to think, isn't it? Amen. Seeing how sometimes that we can be as sheep in life, that we're just wandering around, not ever questioning or considering what really is going on in the world. And we need to get our mouths up off the grass from time to time, and we need to pay attention to what's going on in the world. We need to be able to have the right to discern what's right. Listen, and our duty as born-again believers, followers of Jesus Christ, is to God before to anything else in the whole wide world. Yes, it is. Our call to do what's right is above any denominational tie. And if we're in a Baptist church that tells us to do something wrong, our obligation is to do what's right in the eyes of God before what any preacher in any church in any denomination. And I'm not, listen, I'm Baptist with a great big B, all right? But I was a Christian before I was ever a Baptist. As my parents used to say when I was a kid, if they all jump off the bridge, are you going to jump off too? And the answer is, no thank you. Right? So, God's our standard. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. Okay? He hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Extreme hatred. He cannot stand when people sit around thinking of wicked things all day long. He can't stand it. He hates it when people sit around behind the scenes, and when we sit around behind the scenes thinking about how we're going to get that coworker demoted because we just don't like him. He hates it when we sit around thinking how we're going to make up some story about that person or tell a half-truth to try to defame somebody. He hates a lot of different things. He hates it when we manipulate the facts. He hates it when we sit around making up wicked imaginations. He hates feet that be swift and running to mischief. Oh, it's just mischief. I mean, they're just having fun. They're just having fun. See, and when we read the word mischief, even in our culture, we go, well, it's not like they went out to do something bad. They were just going out to get in a little mischief. God hates feet that run swiftly to mischief. The scripture says fools make a mock of sin. It's no big deal to them. And God hates it. God doesn't like people that are openly wicked. He doesn't like mischiefness. He doesn't like mischief. He doesn't like feet that run quickly to mischief. And you know what's disturbing to me is that when I have gotten in the Simple English Dictionary and looked up the definition to some of these words, I realized that God was sometimes talking about me, which is even more disturbing. He hates a false witness that speaks lies. Wait a minute. I thought he hated the lying tongue in verse 17. He hates lying so much he put it on here twice. That's a thought, isn't it? He hates a false witness. He doesn't like you telling lies, and he doesn't like you telling lies about somebody else. He doesn't like us making up lies about somebody else. He hates people that sow discord among brethren. He doesn't like troublemakers. He doesn't like people that stir up trouble behind the scenes, especially between people that are close. It is perplexing when that person used to be your friend 2 days ago, but because somebody made up some story and they came in and they started causing trouble, that you lost your best friend. Not because you did something wrong. I mean, if we did something wrong and we lost our best friend, that's on us. But if somebody else made something up and sowed discord and we lost a close friend or someone doesn't talk to us anymore, he who's higher than the highest regards the matter. And he doesn't like that. I wonder if that's all how it all started in heaven. You wonder? You ever wonder how it was when the devil decided he's going to wants to be like God? Wonder how it was exactly that he stirred up a third of the angels to join in a rebellion against God. Wonder what that looked like in heaven. Wonder how he walked around heaven sowing discord among the angels. You maybe never thought about that, have you? I bet it wasn't very pretty. And God didn't like it then, and he don't like it now. See? There's a thinking moment right there. Powerful, right? Proverbs 8, verse number 13. The fear of the Lord, what it means to really fear the Lord is to hate, what's the next word there? Right, evil. And that's then followed, the word evil is a what? It's like a colon. So it's like, stop, but we're not done talking about this issue yet. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you say you're afraid of God and you don't hate evil, you don't really fear God. Now, what we got to learn as believers, and this is where the balance comes in, where the hard part is, that we tie people together with the things they do so heavily that we find it hard to hate what they're doing and still love them at the same time. Now, God has the capacity, and it will probably only be in the power of God that you'll ever learn, and I'll ever learn successfully how to do this, how to love someone who's doing something that you absolutely hate what they're doing. You know, we Christians, we need to have our heads screwed on straight about this thing, okay? Look, how to hate the sin and love the sinner. But so much of the time we hate the sin so much and we hate the sinner, and we're never going to be able to reach them until we learn how to love the sinner while we hate the sin. Now you might say, well, they're tied in so closely together. I understand. I understand that. But we've all done wrong. And I thank God that somebody loved us when we were not very lovable. The fear of God is to hate evil. It's to hate pride. It is to hate arrogancy. It is to hate the evil way. You know, sometimes churches, they can be arrogant. I still remember years ago, I was a part of a big church, and I don't think that anybody ever set out to be this way, but there is something that is a potential problem with being the biggest church in a town or the biggest church in a county. There is a potential problem with that if we become arrogant and we forget where we came from. Because God hates pride and he hates arrogancy, and the fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy, and it is to hate the evil way, according to verse number 13, and the froward. Froward means that it will not be brought in underneath rules. It will not submit itself. It's unyielding. It is perverse. It will not let itself be brought under the control of. God hates a dirty mouth. Now, my parents did the very best they could to teach me not to have a filthy mouth as a kid growing up. I got threatened with soap on my lips several times. And I think maybe even once, I got my lips on a little bar of soap once. But man, I got to be an older teenager, and I got saved when I was 16. But even right before I got saved, man, I started getting a potty mouth. Because that's what the other kids, I didn't bring that home. I didn't cuss in front of my mom and dad very much because I was smarter than that. And normally if a kid will cuss in front of their mom and dad, they've been cussing a whole lot other places before it ever comes through the doors of the house. But I got myself a little potty mouth, and one of the things that Jesus Christ had to really work on me about is them dirty jokes, those filthy statements, that filthy mouth that I had when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ to be saved. And God hates a mouth that will not yield to God's commands and God's laws. And if you're here and you got a potty mouth, you probably, if you're a potty mouth here at church, it's hard telling what you say out there. Because we are generally on our best behavior when we walk through these doors, are we not? But baby, when we go out these doors, it's on like Bing Bong Jack, as one scholar said. Brother, educational TV, powerful, isn't it? God hates it. God hates it. Come to think of it, all TV is educational in some form, isn't it? Four times in the book of Proverbs alone, and that's not the only place it's talked about in the scripture, it's talked about over and 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 over. There even was a two verses in the book of Deuteronomy that God talked about this issue. He said, I don't want you to have a false weight. I don't want you to have improper measurements in your bag when you go out in public. And he said, you better not have any false balances in your house at home. Don't have it in your bag, in your dealings, when you go out to deal with other people outside your home. And you better not have a false balance in your home. You can look it up in the book of Deuteronomy and see if what I'm telling you is true. God doesn't like cheating at home. He don't like cheating in public. He don't like cheating behind closed doors. He doesn't like cheating out in public. He doesn't like unfairness and judgment in the courthouse. He doesn't like unfairness and judgment in our house. God hates cheating, unfair judgment, any type of improper balance. He hates favoritism where there needs to be fairness. Because even the God of the universe, he sends rain on the just, and he sends rain on who? And the only people that are going to be in hell are the people that deserve to be in hell. Now listen, the only people that are going to be in hell are the people that deserve to be in hell. And even God is so good that the people that deserve to go to hell, if they would just turn and put their faith in Jesus Christ, God would keep them from having to go there, even though they deserve to go to hell. He would put that judgment upon his son for your sins, and you could be saved. God hates it. He hates false balances. He hates bad business deals. God don't like shady. God don't like it when we're dishonest and selling a car to somebody. God don't like shady. God hates underhanded undermining. Now I understand it as it is what it is. And we sell things sometimes and as is condition. And that's fine. But there's a difference between as is and deliberate deception to take advantage for yourself. There is a difference. You might say, well, they bought it as is. That's fine. That's fine. And here's the line. You know in your heart whether you deliberately withheld information to advantage yourself. And when you know in your heart that you deliberately deceived to make it better for you, you just crossed over the line. Now I know that hits us right down in the guts, doesn't it? God don't like shady.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week. You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do.
to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe.
Sometimes I face sorrow and I'm bothered with sin. But then Jesus comes and comforts. He comforts me. Oh, yes. Sometimes I am lonely. I get so down. Sometimes I feel like there's no friend to be found. But then I remember that Jesus is a friend. He's a friend to me. Jesus will never forsake me. With his love, he wraps his loving arms around me. And in him I'll ever abide. When temptation comes my way, all I have to do is kneel down and pray. Jesus is a friend to me. Jesus will never forsake me. And he will never leave my side. With his love, he wraps his loving arms around me.